Okay, now if we have any visitors here this morning, I think we might. If we would, we'd sure like it if you'd just look in that pouch in the seat in front of you, and there should be a form there you could fill out. And if you'd fill that out, put it in the basket just right at the door on the way out. Let us know who you are. Let us know a little about yourselves. Maybe we can communicate and tell you how much we loved having you here today. So keep that in mind, please. Thank you.
Good morning. Looks like we've got quite a lineup on the announcements today. We have the usual prayer meeting every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock through that door on the right and the next door into that room. Everybody's welcome, of course. Women's Bible study takes place at Tuesday, 6:30. Women, I believe, have just finished the book of Habakkuk, and you're going into 1 Samuel. Is that right? Okay. And then, of course, we have our Wednesday night service, prayer, and Bible study in this room here. Bring your prayers and supplications, and we'll address those before we go into a Bible study. If you're visiting. And then, of course, we move into the weeks ahead with Operation Christmas Child, which is a shoebox ministry. You can read that in your program. We're collecting things as we go through the year. It didn't happen all at once in probably, what, Gene, September? November is when you put them all together and ship them out. Okay, that's the timetable on that operation, Christmas Child. Kindness Cottage, of course, is a food pantry here locally in town, if whether you know that or not, and that they're collecting between August the 20th and 27th. You can bring things that are non-perishable and to place them on that table to the left of the foyer as you leave the building. You'll see a white table set up there to receive those goods and groceries and non-perishable items. You can read the list here from which you can choose. If there's any questions on Kindness Cottage or Christmas Child, see Gene Fox. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before you, bringing worshipful hearts. Lord, we just cherish this time where we can gather in your holy name. This is a special time, and we ask that it be a blessing for all. Lord, we join as one body, offering our praises for just who you are and how wonderful are your ways. For you do reveal yourself to us by your Spirit and by the truth through your written word. Lord, we thank you for this. Lord, this morning, Lord, we have a special request. We lift to you our beloved brother in your word, Freddie Coyle, our missionary in Georgia, and his family. Lord, we thank you that he has so faithfully spoken of your tender mercies and your blessings that have been given to his ministry. Lord, we recognize those and praise you for that, for they abound through the years, as we can see as participants in that ministry. Lord, we just rejoice in his faithfulness to your word, spoken so clearly and effectively that your power over all things is our strength by faith. For your light, Lord, we know, we see, yet shines amid the darkness which seems to be all around us. Lord, we know from your word that darkness cannot stand against your light. You tell us so in your word, and we thank you again for your word. According to your will, Lord, in this healing and this message that Freddie does bring so clearly, we ask your healing of Freddie's body and your loving supply to his family and all who serve and support his team during this difficult time. Lord, we ask you to guard him from all darkness, heal him unto your plans and purposes eternal. Lord, restore him in your love, that you be glorified for it. Lord, next we turn to the reading of your word and the hearing of it and your message from it. We pray that your Spirit will bless Pastor Mike's preparation from it. We just praise your revelation unto the redemption from all sin, for all flesh, for all faithful ones. Lord, our hope is alone found when by faith our eyes will see, in our ears hear, the things eternally prepared for us by you, our Heavenly Father, who intended when you rested from your creation work. Things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe we're in the book of Daniel this morning. Chapter 2 of Daniel. We'll be reading verses 1 of chapter 2 all the way through verse 20. Daniel chapter 2, 1 through 20. Now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave command to all the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give you the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, My decision is firm. You do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation. You shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will give its interpretation. And the king answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. There is no king, lord, or ruler who has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other one who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this reason the king was angry and very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time, that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek the mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the God, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his."
Try not to blow you out of the auditorium this morning. Whew, that's my favorite song, and I don't know that I've heard it sung any better, more moving than what we've had this morning. Good to look out and see you folks that are here this morning. We have some illnesses going on within our family and our church family. Had a little great-granddaughter that was involved in a four-wheeler accident and broke her arm somewhere between the elbow and the shoulder. Could have been much worse. Three little girls on a four-wheeler. That's sort of a recipe for a disaster. But the Lord blessed. The other two little girls were scraped and bruised. Not anything serious. Also, we have Freddie on our minds. Continue to pray for Freddie. The battle, the journey for Freddie is not over. And so continue to pray for him and for his family as they remain faithful in their service to the Lord, in their ministry that he can accomplish from home rather than being on the road. So be sure and pray for them. And we do have someone here this morning who is experiencing a great sadness in the loss of her husband. So I'm not going to call her by name, but you may pray for her if you would. I know that she would appreciate it, and I would too. Looking out, I see some familiar faces. Most of you are familiar. As I was looking at Scripture and trying to prepare for it this morning, I normally have about four to six pages of notes. Get ready. I've got 16 so far. So I know that I won't get through all of those. It was interesting, as Mike was talking about Lita's situation, and I got to thinking about Mike as I saw him walk forward, scared me. I thought he was going to be singing too. So God does answer prayer. The five most words for a healthy, vital marriage are, "I apologize. You are right." I have learned that to be the case. Man asked his wife, said, "Why are you keep looking at our wedding license, our marriage license?" He said, "You've been doing that now quite consistently." She says, "I'm just trying to look for an expiration date." So I think Nancy could probably identify with that. The Lord's good. As I look out and see your smiling faces, I realize how good the Lord is. As I look over here to my left and your right, and I see taking away from the handsomeness and the beauty of the last row, the rows in front of the last row, I have a very special affection for. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming this morning. I appreciate that. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we will begin. Father, we come to you this morning with grateful hearts. Father, for things that could have been so tragic, and Father, you protected and guided, and Father, now you are in the process of healing the one injured in that four-wheeler accident. Father, we pray for her that you would give her ease of pain and discomfort as the bones set themselves and she heals. Then, Father, we pray for Freddie. We ask, Father, your richest blessings upon him, upon his family. Father, this journey that you're taking them through is not over. Father, in fact, as Freddie said, he can't see the end of this journey. Only you can see the end. And so, Father, we ask that you would provide him and his family with peace, with comfort, with healing, with encouragement, with sustenance, Father, as they go through this time that they've never been through before. Bless them extra special good. Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Book of Daniel, we're looking at this morning. Chapter 2, I started to have the reader read throughout the chapter 2, but I figured that we were going to get out of here any time close to the normal time, I probably needed to cut that in half. So we'll be looking at the other verses in the weeks to come. But we find in Daniel chapter 2, here is a young man, Jewish young man, who was taken captive when Nebuchadnezzar went up and besieged Judah, the land of Judah, and won a tremendous victory and took many, many into confinement, took them back to Babylon, confined them. Many more were slaughtered in this engagement that we find Daniel had participated in, probably most likely as a spectator rather than a warrior. Daniel was probably a little bit young to be a warrior when this engagement took place, but he was taken into captivity and taken to Babylon, far away from the land that he was familiar with, from the people that he had grown up with, and he was there, made a servant of the king. And there was a reason for that. The king saw that Daniel had much to offer as far as opportunity to learn. Daniel evidently was quite a smart young man. He was probably a fairly handsome young man. In any way, in any event, he took the eye of Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar said, I want this young man to be in a close circle of those who will grow up to be advisors. And this is the way that we find Daniel here in Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. Reading Daniel chapter 2, verse 1, and in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, plural, dreams, not one, but dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. He couldn't sleep. He had these dreams that were disconcerting to him. He couldn't answer what the dreams meant. He didn't have any point of reference as to what these dreams could have meant. I've dreamed dreams. I have dreamed dreams based upon different things. I can remember having a dream after being kicked in the head by a horse. I was a little guy, but I can still remember that dream. And I can't tell you right now whether it was in fact true or not, but I can remember portions of that dream. I can remember other instances where I dreamed dreams that had some point of reference in my mind later on following the dream. But Nebuchadnezzar didn't have this. He was completely without reference to his dreams. So much so that he couldn't sleep. Have you ever had a dream where you couldn't sleep? Maybe one that was so frightening or so confusing that you just couldn't sleep following the dream. that could have even followed you to the next night, and you couldn't sleep the next night for the dream that you had. A lot of people put a lot of emphasis to dreams and to their meanings and what it might be. The dreams might be predicting in our lives. I personally do not, but some people do. Nebuchadnezzar had these dreams that troubled him. He'd been on the throne, as we understand, about 1 year following his conquering of Judah, the land of Israel. And he was probably reveling some in his conquering, his win over the Jews. He was probably enjoying the spoils of war that he took with him back to Babylon. He probably had some thoughts concerning those that he had killed or his men had killed in Israel. He probably had thoughts of those possibly who he had put to death because he carried them back to Babylon and destroyed them there, killed them there. Nevertheless, Nebuchadnezzar had these dreams. Now, God reveals himself to Nebuchadnezzar, as we'll find here this morning and the next few Sundays, reveals himself to Nebuchadnezzar in a very specific and yet troubling way, a way in which Nebuchadnezzar could not fathom the meanings of these dreams that he was having. Dreams, plural. Daniel chapter 2, verse 3, then the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, Chaldeans, or to show the king his dreams. So they came and they stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I've dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king, in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. So we find here in verse 3, where in verse 1 we have read that he dreamed dreams, the king said to those that he called in from their places of influence, and he said, I have dreamed a dream, singular, a dream. And my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Didn't mention plural. He mentions singular dream. Daniel chapter 2, verse 4. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream. They had a request. They had no idea what the king was talking about. They couldn't tell the king the dream, so they asked the king to tell them the dream. You see, they realized and understood that their lives depended upon it. They'd been an advisor of the king long enough to know probably the king's wrath, the fate that awaited them if they were unable to tell the king the dream. So the first request that we find from these magicians, these advisors, was to tell us the dream. That's a foolish way out. I mean, you tell me your dream and my life stands in danger if I don't tell you the meaning of the dream and the dream. You tell me the dream, I'll make up something. These guys are the same way. So they ask him, you tell us the dream. Then in verse 5, the king, knowing what they were up to, was very angry, and he answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. You will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation. Once again, there's the singular dream. With the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made, reading this morning, an ash heap, But here, in my Bible, old King James, a dunghill. Where you dump? The refuse. Daniel chapter 6, I mean chapter 2, verse 6. We find here, they say, but if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, Nebuchadnezzar says, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream, the interpretation thereof. He was getting agitated. Verse 7, we find these men, of these advisors, these groups of magicians, these groups of ones who would surround themselves around the king for what he could give them. They said this. They answered again, said, let the king tell his servants the dream. We'll show you the interpretation of it. They thought they were being smart. Verse 8, Daniel chapter 2, the king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain. I had to look at this a little bit and contemplate that you would gain. In other words, they would profit, buy some time. He said, but you will not make known unto me the dream. But you want to gain some time to save your own heads. Because you see, he said, you see the thing is gone from me. You know that I can't remember. And you want me to tell you the dream, so to speak, is what he's saying. Verse 9, but if you will not make known unto me the dream, there's but one decree for you. You have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know. You can show me the interpretation thereof. You see, evidently, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, had received some kind of truth from this dream that he had. He had dreams, we find, in the early part of this chapter. Now we find he's down to a dream. Possibly God had revealed to him some things. We're not sure. But he said, I'm not going to give you any more time. You show me what the dream is and the interpretation. I can't remember. We find in verse 9 the phrase, till the time be changed. Till a new state of affairs or state of things arrive, whether by me ceasing to be king, or by a change of governments, which perhaps the agitation caused by the dream made Nebuchadnezzar to fear, and to suspect the Chaldeans of plotting. Maybe the Chaldeans, he had figured out, are trying to take over. Maybe they are planning an uprising. Verse 10, we find the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, or ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. That was stupid. How would you talk to the king so rudely as that? Did. And it's a rare thing, they said, verse 11, that the king requireth. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. You see, there were a number of gods, idols, that they worshipped. They're saying, listen, only the gods can show it. They were partially right, because only God could show it to them. He did not show it to them. In verse 12, for this cause we read the king was angry. He did not leave it with angry, but he was very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Their response to him, disrespect and ridicule, going to cost them their lives. So the decree went out, we read in verse 13, went out, and wise men should be slain. They sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. We find here Nebuchadnezzar was beginning to be very agitated about coming to the realization of what this dream meant to him in his life and in his rule. He couldn't remember. Sure couldn't sleep either. He wanted some rest. You ever get agitated when you lose rest? Get a little bit angry with those around you? Those that you're supposed to love? King was very angry. He was so angry that he was going to kill all of those advisors that he had put in place. We see also that this so-called wise men group, unable to find a way to determine what the king had dreamed, they were unable to give him the determination of the definition of what this dream meant. They panicked. I can just imagine, boy, we have really messed up. We are going to be done away with. They panicked. King's decree of death, so-called wise men, gone out. Verse 14, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom. Now, we as believers today, we don't know exactly what this scenario looked like in minute detail. But Daniel, as we have seen, was a captive. Daniel showed promise as far as wisdom and knowledge. He's probably of noble, if not royal, bloodline from Israel. But we find here revealed to us Daniel's wisdom. He answered with counsel. Before we make any decisions, we really ought to major decisions anyway. We ought to have counsel. The woman sitting over here to my left and your right, my counsel in many, many things and many times. She's my counsel. I run things by her. Sometimes I don't follow her counsel. Many times I've regretted not following her counsel. Daniel answered with counsel, with wisdom. Where he got that is not revealed to us, but we know from what we know so far is that Daniel was a very wise young man. And he evidently went to his fellow captives and had counsel from them. And he went to this Arioch, captain of the king's guard, verse 14. Which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. I find, as I look at this verse, I see three characteristics of Daniel. He saw the value of counsel. He had wisdom. He was brave. Went to the man that was pointed out by the king, kill the Jewish young men. And he went to him. Captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. Verse 15, and he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the king the thing known to Daniel. Evidently, Daniel had made a friend of this Arioch, so that he felt secure enough to go and ask him these questions. Arioch thought enough of Daniel that he told Daniel what the king had decreed. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. Now here we find commentators of this book in Daniel disagree a little bit concerning this portion of 16, where it said, then Daniel went in and desired of the king. They say possibly, quite possibly, and probably Daniel did not see the king face to face, but he sent in Arioch, possibly could have sent in some kind of request that had been written down or else verbally dispatched to the king. Whatever the real answer is to that, it says that Daniel went in. He at least had the king's attention. And in that, he desired of the king that he would give him some time, give Daniel time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. As I mentioned, king granted time to Daniel, but he didn't do so to the Chaldeans. You see, the king had a, if you would, a special interest in Daniel, because he could see Daniel had promise. But he wouldn't to the Chaldeans because they betrayed their purpose by requiring him to tell the dream to them. Daniel had not required that of the king. He just said, grant us some time. And he went on and he said he would show the king the interpretation. Dream, interpretation. God evidently had influenced the mind of the king, already favorable on Daniel's behalf, because he granted Daniel that permission, that time. What was Daniel going to do? Well, we've already found out that he was wise. We found out that he, in important areas, sought counsel. Daniel went to his house, made the thing known, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions. See, once again, seeking counsel. Do we seek counsel? Do we seek counsel of the Lord in important things, decisions that we make in life? Are we responsive to God's leadership and direction when he gives us direction in our lives? Sorry to say this morning and admit to you standing up here is that many times I haven't in the past. Sometimes now I don't. But you see, it's very important to Daniel. Very important in his life. Went to his house, made the things known to his fellow countrymen. God had a purpose for him, all of them. We'll see that a couple of weeks in advance to go forth through the book of Daniel. This morning, I'm going to close here, pick up here next week. We have the Lord's Supper this morning, so I'm going to turn it over to Ray. I believe he has that this morning. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll turn it over to Ray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that it's true and that it's accurate, that it's for us today. We thank you, Father, that when your word tells us it's by grace through faith, not of works, we're saved. Father, we can take that. We can place our very existence in the future with you because of the truth of your word. Thank you, Father, for godly counsel that we receive in our walk with you. Pray, Father, that as a church and as an individual, we make decisions in life. We would seek counsel, especially of you. We would pay attention to counsel that you give us through the indwelling Holy Spirit. Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name.